Let's pray and then we'll get started. Oh my days. Stick around. Stick around. Guys, stay there because I've just seen what the devotion is. Stay there. Everyone who's sitting there wondering how God feels about them, if they can do anything to be away from him, stay there. Stay there, okay? This isn't a coincidence. Okay, dear kind and heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us together this morning. Father, we ask that you continue to guide us to all truth, that you fill us with your word, fill us with your light so that we're able to tackle another day. Lord, even though some of us are dragging our feet towards devotion this morning, me especially, I ask that you reveal truth to me, that you continue to be patient with me, Father, even though my disobedience sometimes is not where it's at. I ask that you be with the people in the life, that you bless them abundantly, that you guide them to your will over their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, look at this. Look at this. Look at this. What's the title of the day? What is the title of the day? Heidi, GC. Look at the title of the day. You guys were sitting there and you were saying, oh, but if maybe I've done too many things, maybe I've gone too far. I'm there sitting there telling you, and I look over and the title of the day is God Cares for You. He cares for you guys. Like, he knows when you're going to be worried about things before you even know. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're caring about. He knows how you feel about him. He knows where you're lacking. He knows everything. And I always say this, it's not by circumstance why you guys are right here on this live right now. You're here because he has something to say to you. As people of God, we should be willing vessels to be able for him to speak through us to his creation. As Christians, we are meant to be vessels so that the Holy Spirit can speak through us to his creation. And for some reason, GC, some reason, Heidi, he must have seen that you guys were doubting if he really cares for you today. Maybe there's other people who are doubting if God cares for them. And he has you here right now so that you can hear how much he actually cares for you, how much he actually wants better for you in your life right now. Because he doesn't want you sitting there doubting him. He doesn't want you sitting there worried that, you know, he's not going to catch you when you fall. He doesn't want you to sit there and question him. He wants to make it abundantly clear. And if it means he has to use this Heron app to get through to you, he will. I want to find a scripture as well. I'm going to find it. Okay, his timing is always perfect. His timing is always perfect. Okay, let's read the scripture reading of the day. Let's read it, guys. I'm covering this so you don't see what it says until we get there. It says, fear thou not, fear not, do not be afraid, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. Why? For I am thy God. I am your God. I will strengthen thee. Yes, I will help thee. Yes, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Do not be afraid. Why, guys? Because he's with us. He is there. Why, guys? Because he is your God. If you deem him your Lord and your Savior, he is your God. He will strengthen us. Not, you don't need to find strength. You don't need to go and be strong yourself. You don't need to be strong on your own. He will strengthen you. He will uphold you. He will be your backbone. He will be your comforter. He will do all these things with his right hand of his righteousness. We can only benefit from the good of God because he is good. There's nothing good in us. There's nothing good in us. So we can only benefit from the good of God because he is good and his righteousness is everlasting, guys. It's enough to cover you. It's enough to cover me. It's enough to cover all of humanity, you know? I'm still looking for that verse that I want. I'm going to find that scripture reading. I will find it. Sorry, I know which one I'm looking for. Maybe it will come to me. Okay, so we are in Isaiah 41 verse 10. We have to fact check. And look at that, guys. Look at this. You know, see that I underlined this a while ago? You know, see it? Anyway, it says, Hold on. Let me just read it from verse 10, actually. Let's read it from verse 10, guys. It says, fear thou not. From verse 9. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth. For those of you who I have taken from the ends of the earth, there is no mountain high enough, no river wide enough, right, to keep us from the love of God. He has taken us from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof. He has literally made a page in his book of life for you particularly, and said unto you, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, I have selected you. The fact that you have air in your lungs right now is proof that you have been picked out of all of the eggs, out of all of the sperms to be here, guys. You've been picked. And what does he promise? And not cast thee away. He hasn't thrown you away. He hasn't left you to go and do your own thing. We are the ones that move away. He hasn't cast us away. Therefore, fear thou not. Do not be afraid. He's chosen you. He has selected you. He has gone to the ends of the earth for you. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I will uphold thee. And you know, it's sad that you see these as empty words, my love. You know why? Because a lot of us are so damaged by the evils of this world that when we hear the love of God, we take it as an attack. Like, you are so far gone and corrupted by sin, like myself, that when we hear what true love sounds like, we actually reject it. Yet still, when man literally punches you over the head over and over and over again, you still run back to him. It's empty words when it's from the mouth of God, but when humanity prove themselves to be evil and wicked, you still run back to them. We are the ones that need to change our mindsets. God doesn't change. He's been like this from the beginning and he'll be like this till the end. It's us who have a deluded concept of what love is. Our brains have been turned to mush in what true love really is. And when it's been presented like this, in all seriousness, in all clarity, we then sit there and say it's empty words because you don't appreciate the blessings that you already have, air in your lungs, family, friends. You don't appreciate these blessings, you know? We don't see it. You know, fear not. I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. He can do these things because he is only good. He can only do good. He can only do good, guys. Right, let's go to the devotion. Letia. They hit differently, man. I don't, you know, as I said, if the word of God makes you literally like curl up and wanna be angry, wanna be sad, we have to look at ourselves because something's wrong with us. Something's wrong with us, you know. We have to look at ourselves. If that doesn't make you want to get close to him, as I said to you before, it may not. But that's what it's meant to do. Someone professes their love to you. It's going to want to make you closer to them, not push them away. And if you push away unadulterated, pure love, something's wrong with you. Do you know what I mean? And I'm not saying that that's your fault, but I'm just saying that's the truth of the matters. We need to question why we can't accept true love. Why? What's happened to us? Okay, so let's read. It says, the Lord is in active communication with every part of his vast dominions. Let me say that again. The Lord is in active communication with who? With every single person, guys. I keep saying this. We think that we are so wicked that God has left us somewhere on a hill to die. Not true. He is forever in active communication with us. So if that's true, guys, if that's true, he's already in active communication with us, why is it that we feel so alone? Why is it that we are so angry at him? If he's in active communication, what's the missing link? What's the missing link? I can be in active communication with you, but what needs to happen on our end? What needs to happen on our end? I can be trying to communicate with you. I can be in active communication with you. What do we need to do? What do we need to do? He's in active. What do we need to do, though? We need to turn to him and seek him, yes? But even simpler, willing to receive, yes. Pray, yeah. It's one word, guys. He's in active communication with us. What do we need to do? I'm trying to communicate with you. Listen. We need to listen. Like, I'm not being funny. Let's break it down even further. You're married to someone, right? Your husband is trying to talk to you. Your wife is trying to talk to you. They're trying to communicate with you constantly. And, you know, sometimes communication can be nonverbal. Sometimes communication is nonverbal, guys. Sometimes it's not even words. They may have body language or their posture or their countenance, how their face looks, right? Some communication is nonverbal, some communication is verbal. But if they are communicating with you constantly, what do you need to do to benefit from that communication? You need to listen. If you don't want to listen, how much can he do? He's saying to you, do this, go here, be with this person, don't be with this person. He's trying to actively communicate with you constantly, constantly. But if you don't listen, what can he do? It says he is represented as bending towards the earth and its inhabitants. Can you imagine? He is bending. My days. The King of Kings, the creator of all things, is bending. He is listening to every word that is uttered. He hears every groan. He listens to every prayer. He observes the moments of everyone. As I said to you, GC, I don't know if you're still here. Heidi, I don't know if you're still here. He knows already your worries and your fears around him. And he does his best to show you that he can listen and hear you. That's why I said to you, don't take it as a coincidence that the one day you're sitting there questioning, does God really love me? Does God really care about me? You are now on a live where it's telling you how much he cares. That is not a coincidence, guys. That is him hearing your moans and your groans and your worries. That's him hearing it. It says, God has always had a care for his people, always. Christ taught his disciples that the amount of divine attention given to any object is proportionate to the rank assigned to it in the creation of God. What does that mean? The amount of divine attention you are given is literally proportionate. It is literally the same as the ranking that has been assigned for you by God. And this is why I say to you, where much blessings are given, that is your duty to bless others. Where much responsibility is given, that is your duty to be responsible over others. Your ranking is proportionate to how much attention, how many gifts you are given. He called their attention to the birds of the air, not a sparrow. He said, falls to the ground without the notice of our heavenly Father. And if the little sparrow is regarded by him, surely the souls of those for whom Christ died are precious in his sight. He cares for the birds, right? He cares for the sparrows, guys, when they fall from the sky. How much more? He unalived himself for us, his creation. He didn't unalive himself for the birds. He didn't unalive himself for the cows and the pigs. He did it for us. So how much more does he love creation? How much more does he love humanity? How much more? He didn't do it for anyone else. And we've said this before, but there are other worlds, guys. The Bible shows us that there are other worlds, other planets with creation on it, wherein the enemy, Lucy, tried to tempt them to sin. They didn't win, or he didn't win. He didn't overcome them. They continued to praise and worship to their Lord and Savior, the creator of all things. We earthlings are the only ones that fell for the trap. Humanity are the only beings of God's creation that fell for Lucy's trap. The Bible tells us there are other worlds that have not fallen, only earth. So if that's the case, how much more does he love earthlings then? Because he only died for earthlings, not for anywhere else. He loves us more than you ever know, guys. He loves us more than you ever know, because we are the only portion of creation that he has died for. It says the value of man, the estimate God places upon him, is revealed in the cross of Calvary. You want to know how much he loves you? Look at the cross. You want to know how much he has sacrificed for us earthlings? Look at Calvary. Look at the cross. It says God's mercy and love for the fallen race, us, earthlings, his mercy and love for us has not ceased to accumulate nor lost its earthward direction. It hasn't ceased. It is true that disappointments will come. It's true. You will be disappointed. Tribulations, we must expect. Being a Christian doesn't mean your life is rosy. Being a Christian doesn't mean your life is perfect. Expect trials, expect disappointment, expect things to go bad. But we are to commit everything. We are meant to give everything, all the hurt, all the pain, all the good, great and small, to God. He does not become perplexed. He doesn't become bared down. He doesn't become bogged down. He doesn't go, oh, not you again. Not another problem. He doesn't become perplexed by the multiplicity of our grievances, nor overpowered by the weight of our burdens. His watch care extends to every household and encircles every individual. He is concerned in all our business and our sorrows. He marks every tear. He is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, all the afflictions and trials that befall us here are permitted. Why? To work out his purposes of love towards us, that we might be partakers of his holiness and thus become participants in the fullness of joy which is found in his presence. You can only find joy in the presence of God, guys. I always say this. I found this somewhere else and I'm going to run to the hills with it. We will only find joy being present with God. Why? We are his creation. We literally have a God-sized hole in our hearts. Until that is filled with God, not with another man, not with another woman, not with our children, not with drink, not with D-rugs, not with any other illicit device that the enemy puts in our way, unless we fill it with God, we will never be happy. We will never find joy. We won't. Unless we fill that hole, that void in our hearts with him, we are never going to be complete. And this is why I said to that person earlier who said that this is empty words, you have a hole in your heart. You haven't accepted Christ. You haven't accepted him. You haven't accepted his promises. You haven't accepted his word. You haven't accepted him as your Lord and Savior. When you do that, these words become things. They actually become tangible. They actually penetrate your heart. Remove the rock and make it flesh. It makes you feel good. It's only empty words for someone whose heart is full of stone. It's only empty words. Guys, God cares for you and for me. Does that caring take away disappointments? No. Does that caring take away trials? No. Because we have somebody else in the picture who is trying his darndest to ruin things, and the Lord will leverage our pain and suffering to draw us closer to him. How does he do that? We're going through trials. He says, come, give me the burdens, give me the problems, give me the grievances. Then we get closer to him. We have a more intimate relationship with him through our pain and through our suffering. When we're not in pain, when we're not worried about anything, guys, do you think you want to turn to God? You're like, I'm good. I'm gravy. I'm fine. I don't need anyone's help. When you are going through issues, unfortunately, as humanity, it's the only time we even give him a look in. It's the only time we even go, oops. Maybe there is somebody else, or maybe there's another option. That's the only time we do it. So he leverages that. He looks at that and thinks, okay, you're only going to come to me when it's bad. Let me let a portion of bad happen so you can see me, so you can come to me, so that you can realize how much I care for you and want better, and you can be built up and made stronger in the process. That is his plan. You know, if we just ran to God freely, if we ran to God freely, rather than waited for the next calamity to come, rather than waited for the next issue to come, rather than waited for our lives to be full of doo-doo, if we just ran to him freely, we would stop a lot of pain that comes in our lives. But because of our choices, because we wait until the, you know, hits the fan, we then end up suffering, guys. Unduly suffering. Unnecessarily suffering. Because we don't want to listen. We don't want to listen. We don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear it, guys. And I'm talking about you and me.